What? A Christian homeschooling family has to flee Germany for religious liberty, comes here to America, and our administration wants to deport them? Are you serious?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are going to talk about some jarring, stirring things today. Your heart will burn as we talk. The good news is Christians standing together, Christians raising their voices can make a difference. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. It's Wednesday, which means we are focusing on the world, on moral and cultural issues. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by attorney Michael Farris, who has been in the midst of a very important case unfolding here in the United States. We'll introduce him in a little while. But if you were on my Facebook page, if you have liked the Ask Dr. Brown page, A-S-K-D-R Brown, you would have seen yesterday or day before a quote from William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. Now, as I'm looking at it now, it has been viewed over 450,000 times. That's correct. It has been shared over 7,600 times. And this is what William Booth said well over 100 years ago. The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, heaven without hell. You want to talk about a prophetic word? I've had it in my Bible for many years. I've referred to it many times. Many others have. But the further we get into the 21st century, you see how right he was about the 20th. Here you go again. The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Ghost. So think of that. We have the Christian religion. We have Christian churches. We have all of these things in the name of Jesus with so little of the power and presence of God. I'm not even talking about charismatic gifts. I'm talking about the convicting presence of God. I'm talking about that presence of God that charismatics and non-charismatics would agree on is essential for the work of the gospel. Where is the evidence of the work of the Spirit in so many of our churches? So much of what we do is our very best effort to make up for the lack of the Spirit's presence. Christianity without Christ. We have this form of religion, this self-help religion. Add this Jesus figure in and your life gets bigger and better. Forgiveness without repentance. Come on, that's the story of so much of the Church of America today in terms of our message. Salvation without regeneration. Where is the real, clear, new birth and the turning from old to new? And heaven without hell. Oh, we all want the world to come. We all think we're going to go there to a better place. Everyone thinks they deserve it. Most people do. But we don't want to talk about judgment and hell. Why do I bring that up? Because that's why we're in the state we're in today in America. We have been called to be the salt and the light. We have been called to be the ones who make a difference. We have been called to be the moral conscience of society. I'm going to read something to you a little later in the show that I wrote in 1989 that'll stir your heart. And you'll say, wow, you wrote that in 89. It's far more relevant now, 25 years later. When we come back, we're going to speak with attorney Michael Farris about a German family. They left Germany because homeschooling is basically illegal there. They came to America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the place of religious freedoms, the place to which the pilgrims fled many centuries ago for religious freedoms. And our administration has fought tooth and nail to deport them. They were about to be deported. The outcry was such that the story has changed right now. Michael Farris, the attorney right in the middle of this, is going to tell us what's going on. And friends, if the church's lack is the cause of the problems, when we wake up, we can be the cause of the solution.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here in America, people are raised with that thought that we are a free country here and parents have fundamental rights. And now seeing the government taking all this away should be alarming, and the public should be standing up against this.
That was the voice of Uwe Vromeike. A German father came here with his wife and children from Germany in 2008 looking for religious asylum. They were not happy with what their kids were being taught in the German school system. They wanted to homeschool them. They could not homeschool them in Germany. They came here, were initially granted asylum, but then our administration fought aggressively against this, and there was a ruling to have them deported to Germany. Thankfully, attorney and professor Michael Farris, chancellor of Patrick Henry College, chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, founding president of each organization, he was able to stand up with many others, raise a cry over this, and for now, the tables have been turned in this situation. The family at the moment is not being deported. By the way, Michael Farris and his wife Vicky have 10 children and 17 grandchildren. Mr. Farris, I could take all day reading your accolades here on your bio. You've been on the front lines of this for many years. So first, let me thank you for what you're doing at Patrick Henry and with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Many of us are indebted to you. So thank you up front.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Brown. It's an encouragement and a blessing. I really am grateful for what the Lord is doing on many fronts, including the Vromeike case that dramatically turned around this week after being extremely dark on Monday.
Yes, all right.
A very bright day indeed.
An article on FoxNews.com by Todd Starnes is headlined, Team Obama Wins Fight to Have Christian Homeschool Family Deported. Is this an overstated, sensationalistic headline, or was there an aggressive fight by the administration to have this family deported?
That headline was absolutely true until noon yesterday, when they did a turnabout. This family came here in 2008 through the front door, promptly applied for political asylum like the law requires them to do under these circumstances. The matter kicked around in the administrative process for a while, and they went to their first immigration judge hearing. And in 2008, he awarded them asylum status. Excuse me, 2010, he awarded them asylum status. And held that Germany's ban on homeschooling, which is aimed at religious people on purpose, and that their top courts say that it's designed to stop religious minorities from growing. He read the facts and law correctly, in our view, and granted them asylum. And that would have been that. If our administration had not intervened, the family would have stayed here in peace and in happiness at that point as refugees. And they could have, there would be a path to citizenship eventually that way. They appealed. They didn't need to appeal. That case didn't set a real... it's like a traffic court. It doesn't set a strong precedent. It's very low level. And so they appealed it to the higher level that does set precedent. And the precedent was set that parents' rights and religious freedom are not protectable grounds for, at least in this context, not protectable basis for asylum because they don't consider them persecution.
All right. So just to be clear here for our listeners, even though Germany has a, quote, Christian heritage and Christian religion is completely recognized and can be practiced there, there are parameters. Some Christians in America that we would just consider to be mainline born-again Christians can almost appear cult-like with the state church in Germany and its liberalism. So if a family pulls their kids out of school and they want to homeschool, what would happen to them in Germany?
Well, what happened to this family is that the police will come and get your kids and take them to the public schools. And if you resist that, eventually they come and seize your children like they did with the Wunderlich family about 5 or 6 months ago. They had 20 police officers show up the door with a battering ram ready to knock down their door and permanently remove the custody of their children. And that's what they threatened to do through MICAs. And so when they had their kids back temporarily, well, they never removed custody. They were just physically escorting them to public schools. And when they had their kids back at home, they left the country and came here. And so they escaped so that they would not lose the permanent custody of their children. And that's what happens. They remove your kids permanently.
So, friends, I want you to understand, I'm not speaking with a tabloid reporter with the National Enquirer. Professor Farris has been called one of the top 100 faces in education for the 20th century by Education Week magazine. He is a law professor, chancellor of Patrick Henry College. So what Mr. Farris is saying to us is accurate. These are realities. If you can imagine that, people coming to your door with a battering ram to take your kids away because you want to homeschool them. Allow me to jump ahead for a moment from this story and ask for your viewpoint on a larger issue. Do you see any possibility with the way the current administration is going that there could be an attack on the right of homeschoolers here in America to do what we currently do?
Yes, and there's two reasons that I say that. One was the position the government took in this case, and then secondly, there's a lot of voices of people associated, not with this administration per se, but with the philosophy that it represents. There are particularly a group of law professors that have all written published law review articles in major journals like from William & Mary and from Cal Berkeley Law School and other places like that, top law journals. They've all called for the suppression of all forms of Christian education, but especially homeschooling. And they either want to institute philosophical controls so that we're no longer able to teach our kids, for example, that Jesus is the only way to God, because that's intolerant of other religions. And so these people are contending that all this should be shut down. And what our own government argued, the Attorney General of the United States argued in the Romica case, is that the German ban on homeschooling, and which, by the way, in Germany, the Christian schools are required to teach the government curriculum. So there's not a material difference between those two kinds of education there. They said that Germany was within the rights of any nation to do the same thing. Well, if any nation can do that, then the United States could do that as well. And so it was the position of our country that our rights as Christian educators and home educators is a matter of governmental privilege. If they want to stop it, they can stop it. So I think that, you know, it could come. And there are advocates that are training lawyers and judges for the future who are actively teaching that this should be done.
You know, it reminds me of the ruling with the David Parker case against Massachusetts, where he had asked for the permission to be notified when his first grader was going to be taught on homosexual-related subjects, same-sex so-called marriage and things like that. And, of course, that permission was not granted. And, hey, this is legal here in Massachusetts anyway, plus the teachers can teach it at their discretion, so we're not going to notify you, and we couldn't anyway. So, of course, it makes its way up to federal court, and the judge rules it's more important to teach the children diversity, quote, with all of that, what it means in today's society, more important to teach diversity than to honor the requests of the parents. And, of course, the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. That is parallel to what the judge said about the German schools, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I know David Parker personally, and you portrayed it exactly right. That's how the First Circuit ruled, and you've described the whole process correctly. And it is a parallel to what's going on here. There's a movement, you know, that there's a lot of shared philosophical values between the progressives of Western Europe and the progressives in our country. It's not like a hidden conspiracy. It's an open agreement about values. And so they're pursuing this in the United States, and they believe that everyone should be taught the values of what they call tolerance.
Yep.
But what they don't really mean tolerance. What they mean is that we can't teach our children what we think is right and wrong. They will teach our children what they think is right and wrong. It's wrong for us to say that homosexuality is a sin. It's wrong for us to say that dads should be leaders in their homes. It's wrong for us to say that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And so they...
Yeah, so it's the tolerance becomes the ultimate intolerance, and diversity is my way or the highway. Being inclusive means exclusive of views like ours. All right, I'm just going to get a couple more minutes with Professor Farris because there's a great victory, and we want to celebrate that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to be very conscious of my guest's time, Professor Michael Farris, Chancellor of Patrick Henry College, Chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He said regarding the administration's attempts to deport a German family that had come here, a Christian family, so as to homeschool their kids, "It's a denial of the essence of America," Professor Farris said. "The pilgrims left England to go to Holland to seek religious freedom. They came here to seek religious freedom and parental rights for their children. Had this administration been waiting at Plymouth Rock, they would have told the pilgrims to go back home." Well said, sir. So there was an outrage over this. You've been fighting things legally. People across America were shocked to hear the news that this family was going to be deported by the efforts of the Justice Department, especially when we see our administration's stance about illegal aliens and trying to look for compassionate solutions and liberal solutions for them. Here you have the opposite case of people trying to be legal in every way with every reason to be here. Where do things stand today, and what turned the tide?
Well, on Monday, the Supreme Court of the United States refused to hear Thurman Mike's appeal. And that was the end of the line, and I was incredibly discouraged.
Mm.
24 hours later, we got a call from the Department of Homeland Security granting the family indefinite deferred status, which means they can stay in the United States lawfully as long as they don't get arrested for a crime, which isn't going to happen.
Right. So it seems highly unlikely.
Unlikely in the extreme.
Yes,
and
sir.
So the it was an incredible celebration. There are two reactions of why it happened. First, I believe it is a miracle from God, but the bread and loaves that God used was the outcry of people, because the administration and Congress and others had heard dozens of times, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people crying out, saying, "This is wrong, this needs to be changed." And we were working, when we heard the word, we were working to write a law in Congress to fix it right then. And we were working on getting prime sponsors. We're going to file the bill, this week. But all that went away in one phone call. It was a victory for this family only. They get to stay, but it doesn't open the door for other German families that need it. There's probably about 50 families in Germany in the same situation. And it doesn't fix the problems with parental rights and religious freedom that we're all going to start. And we have plans and ideas of how to do that, including the Parents' Rights Amendment that's pending in the United States Congress right now, that would help to perpetuate freedom for all of us for a long time. We also have some pending legislation on asylum reform that would help to fix the problem. But we're going to have to keep fighting, or they're going to do this to another family, and another, and another, and another, and then they're going to eventually do it to us all. And so we're incredibly grateful that this one family gets to stay. But we just drive home the need to win freedom for everyone and to have our freedom written down in the black and white of the Constitution, right, and not be subject to the whim of the government.
Right. And so rather than people just taking their foot off the gas pedal and saying, "Okay, here's a victory, sigh of relief," we rejoice in the victory, but then recognize as we speak up, as we speak out, as we stand up for what's right, we can make a difference, and we need to be proactive. Friends, if you're homeschooling parents, if you're concerned about religious liberties, if you have friends that fit in these categories, go to hlsda.org, Homeschooling Legal Defense Association, HSLDA. And Professor Farris, thanks for what you are doing with Patrick Henry College and with homeschoolers across America and around the world. Again, our great appreciation to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Friends, let me read something to you. All right? Let me read this to you. 1989, I wrote this. It's from my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. And it's yours for your gift of any size. If you feel what we're doing is important on the radio, if you feel that our voice is making a difference by discussing these issues and by bringing on these guests and by stirring hearts for revival in Jesus' revolution, then stand with us. And our thank you gift is my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, which is a book about repentance and revival that will stir your heart. Trust me, it'll stir your heart. I wrote this in 1989. According to Charles Finney, a revival of religion presupposes a declension. It presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state, and a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and then the conversion of sinners. How does backsliding set in? And what are the first steps of spiritual declension? There is a clear lesson to be learned from the history of the children of Israel. They served God as long as they experienced him. Joshua 24:31. When his mighty works became only a memory, they gradually fell back into sin. And I wrote this in the very first chapter of the book. At this very moment, there are more believers living here in the United States than at any time in history. Hundreds of churches boast memberships in the thousands, and dozens of ministries claim to be touching the world. Gospel radio and television shows are aired 24 hours a day, and Christian literature pours off the presses at an unprecedented pace. Believers are neck deep in praise tapes and teaching materials. But something is terribly wrong. Our society is crumbling all around us. Fear of God has all but disappeared. The world sins with apparent impunity, and the people of God say, "We're blessed." Something horrible has taken place. The church has backslidden without even knowing it. This was 1989. Like Sardis, we have become, quote, the perfect model of inoffensive Christianity, as written by Professor George B. Caird. Think of that. This is a picture of the Church of America, the perfect model of inoffensive Christianity, having a reputation of being alive yet being dead, Revelation 3:1. Like Sardis, we have so come to terms with our pagan environment that we provoke almost no opposition and make virtually no impact. And like Sardis, situated high on a mountain rock, we have felt safe and secure in this world. The fact is, we have gotten so fat that we can't even get out the church doors to touch the world. Our contemporary gospel has bred complacency instead of compassion, success instead of sacrifice, prestige instead of prayer. We no longer ask what we can do for him, but rather what he can do for us. Do you see the incredible carnality of it all? You say strong words. Yes, they were strong in 89. They're even stronger today. The good news is, if we will turn to God, and if we will wake up and do what he calls us to do, we can make a difference. So call us right now. Stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, I will send you The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. Again, that's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Also, go to my website. As soon as you have a chance, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article, 5 minutes inside eternity. As Leonard Ravenhill once wrote, 5 minutes inside eternity, we will wish that we had sacrificed more, wept more, grieved more, loved and prayed more, and given more. That's AskDrBrown.org. Click on the latest article. And have you downloaded your free copy of Hyper Grace, part of the message that's helped putting the Church of America to sleep? It's free up through March 11th, a special offer from the publisher. Go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your ebooks. Download it now. Tell your friends. We're up to number 23 on Amazon. Take advantage of this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the line of fire on this Wednesday as we focus on the world on moral and cultural issues. When we talk about what's happening around us, yes, some of it is alarming. Some of it's disturbing. But if we just stick our heads in the sand as if it doesn't exist, it only makes the problem worse. Or if we throw our hands up in the air and say there's nothing we can do about it, it makes the problem worse. If we recognize that drawing attention to moral outrages and then standing up to do what's right, we can make a difference, and we are expected to. My guest, Brian Kammacher, is one of the co-founders of Mass Resistance. He and his small team have fought tirelessly to draw attention to grievous, egregious abuses of the law with pro-lifers, extraordinary things taking place with gay activism on the Mass Resistance website, massresistance, one word, .org. Brian, thanks as always for your tireless work going against the grain, not just in Massachusetts, but in other states. Something happened recently with a pro-lifer that's outrage on top of outrage. Please share with our listeners what happened first, the circumstances, and then what the courts have decided.
Okay, it's great to be here, by the way. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Brian.
Well, Peter DiTillo is a has a pro-life ministry where he's a very religious Catholic, and he ministers to high school and college students about the truth of abortion to sort of counter the message they get from Planned Parenthood and the popular culture. And what he does is he goes and he has a sign that shows the what the abortion procedure is with drawings, and he hands out these very small little pamphlets, actually bookmarks about it. And he will often stand on sidewalks, just in in inner cities, outside of schools, and other places where young people congregate, and. More often than not, he gets harassed by the police.
Is he yelling and screaming or disrupting the public in some obnoxious way?
No, he's a very quiet guy. He very intent. He gave up a rather prosperous landscaping business to do this full time, and he just basically stands there. And, you know, maybe walks up and down, doesn't yell or anything like that. And what happens is he will get harassed terribly, beat up by the police, charged with...
Beat up by the police?
Yeah, this happened in Franklin, Massachusetts. It was a rather celebrated case in 2011. It was in the papers and everything. And invariably, what will happen is he'll get charged with all kinds of phony crimes, such as disturbing the peace or what have you. And then his lawyer, who is a pro bono, pro-life lawyer, will always have them thrown out of court because they are on their face just, they're false charges. On this particular day in 2012, he was outside of a school in Brockton, Massachusetts, just on the public sidewalk, and he really hadn't talked to any kids, or I think maybe one or two. But this time, the police did the same thing. They came up to him, they harassed him, they tackled him to the ground, and then they... charged him with disturbing a school, trespassing on the school grounds, and resisting arrest. And this time what they did was the judge was...
Let me just jump in right here. We'll tell you what happened in this arrest with the charges that were brought against this pro-life champion, and then what the court decided. Wake up time, friends. Back with Brian Kammacher.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Brian Kammacher, one of the leaders of mass resistance. Friends, you want an exercise in being stirred and being awakened, go to the website Mass Resistance, one word, massresistance.org. And I'm going to ask a couple of Massachusetts-related questions on a related subject in a moment to my guest, but he's been describing what happened to pro-life activist Peter DiTillo, who has been harassed by police, who has even been beaten up by local police for his peaceful and law-abiding protests, if you want to call it, or getting information out about what abortion does. So, Brian, you said that he was in front of a school, and he got tackled by the police.
Right.
He's gotten in the habit of keeping a video camera with him so he can video what actually happens to him.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing. A few years ago, the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts ruled that it is legal to hold a video camera and video police officers when they are confronting you. This was an ACLU case. And since that time, every time a police officer comes and confronts him, he takes a video camera out of his pocket and holds it up. And as a result, he has a collection of very chilling videos, which are on his YouTube page and which we have posted also, of just the horrible, horrible things that the police officers say and do to him. I'm a little surprised that they do this, knowing that they're on video, but they do nevertheless. So in this case, he pulled out his video camera. As soon as the police officer started coming toward him, the principal of the school had also come out to see what was going on, and had also told Peter that he didn't want him there. So there were two people besides Peter at the time. The police officer came up to him, tried to grab the video camera, and started becoming very hostile. Peter started leaving the area out of fear. He walked across the street, and as soon as he got across the street, the officer tackled him onto the ground and arrested him. And took his video camera. He was charged with, as I said, trespassing school grounds, resisting arrest, and disturbing a school. And it went to court a couple of weeks ago. And the terrible thing about this was the prosecution was very, very dishonest, and the judge was very hostile. Peter ended up getting convicted of all three charges, and it was the most horrible thing I'd ever seen. Mm. First of all, the judge would not allow Peter's lawyer to question the jurors as to what their opinion on the abortion issue was, or whether they believed that you should be able to hold a sign in a public area and express your opinion. So they weren't even able to question about it. And it was my opinion, watching the trial, that many of them were pro-choice and maybe even pro-choice activists.
Secondly, so they couldn't just do normal jury selection in this way and ask obvious questions to see if they had a prejudice one way or the other before coming in.
Right. And the judge would not allow that. Peter was on the public sidewalk the entire time, and in fact, the principal testified to that effect, that he never really was on school property. The police officer, under cross-examination, admitted that Peter did not pose any threat to him of violence or anything, which is what you have to do for a resisting arrest charge, that he simply fell to the ground when he was tackled. And regarding disturbing a school, Peter never spoke to any, none of the kids he talked to, and he may not have talked to any, complained. There were no complaints against him, and nothing regarding disturbing a school happened, according to any of the eyewitnesses. Nevertheless, the prosecution determined to paint Peter as some kind of a horrible character. Let me also add that when the police took his video camera, they broke it open and took out the tape and then claimed that the tape didn't exist and it was never there. The tape, which he had running, would have proven everything that he said. It would have proven that he was never on anything but the public sidewalk, and it would have proven how he got tackled by the police officer, and it would also have proven everything that he said while he was there. That was taken by the police. At first, the police told him that they had it when he asked for it and when his lawyer asked for it, but then they changed their story and said that it didn't exist. Also, the police officer testified that his sign held pictures of dead babies on it, and the sign did not have pictures of dead babies on it, but the judge would not allow the jurors to see the sign. They would allow the sign to be brought into the courtroom, but only the back of the sign was allowed to be shown to the jurors, so they were left believing that. And so they found him guilty of all three counts, even though the evidence was otherwise. The prosecutor basically said this is, you know, a dangerous person that you need to keep away from schools. And it was horrible. The jury, many of them just seemed to be pro-choice, advocates, in my opinion, sitting there watching them.
Remarkable.
It was just a horrible, horrible thing because he didn't do any of that. He simply walked in front of the school with his sign.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a picture from 2011 that is on your website, massresistance.org, and there he is with his left eye closed shut and swollen and black and blue from when he was beaten by police in Franklin, Massachusetts, after which he started carrying his video camera. How is Peter doing with this, and what is he planning to do in terms of appealing the verdict?
Well, he's fairly depressed about it, as you can imagine. He is looking to find a lawyer that will appeal it for him. His lawyer, who has taken him this far, doesn't do appeals and just can't do it. So he thinks he's pretty close to finding one that will do it. So he only has another week, because you have like 30 days from the trial to file an appeal.
Wow.
So he's working hard on that, but It's in all of my life, I've never seen a more blatant miscarriage of justice than this. It was just terrible.
And you know, the thing is, as Christians, we're used to being opposed for the gospel. In other words, it's been a history of, you know, there's been martyrdom and persecution. The thing that it's never pleasant, but it's a certain reality, and we're told to rejoice in it. But when you expect a court to judge fairly, you know, it's almost like a case where a woman gets raped and beaten, and then she gets sentenced to prison for seducing a man or something bizarre like that. It's the miscarriage of justice that is so heartrending and shocking, and that's why all the more we need to pray for justice here in the exposing of evil. Brian, take 2 minutes, if you can, just to switch subjects. Having monitored these things in Massachusetts for years now, what can you say to the rest of America about what happens once there is gay activist education in the schools? Is it just a matter of don't bully and treat everyone nicely, or does it go beyond that?
It goes way beyond that. What's happening is every subject ends up having a homosexual aspect to it. In fact, I'm working with a woman right now who has a fifth grade son who they talk about, you know, gay marriage and math. They begin to have, you know, also homosexual, you know, gay advocacy days, transgender days, the day of silence. The gay activists do in the schools like they do in the rest of society, only somewhat of a much higher level. It becomes just immersed into the public school system. I saw it, you know, in the schools with my own kids, and I'm seeing it now. this is something that people, you know, really need to fight against, because it's a ghastly thing once it starts happening.
And what you've also documented is, for example, in the gay pride parades, that some things that the vast majority of parents would find objectionable, not just two men, you know, walking down the street holding hands, but all types of sexually perverse things and gender-bending expressions of every kind. And you've got young kids from schools just marching right along. Brian, Amy, and your team, keep up the good work. I know it's rough, and I know funds are tight, so hopefully more folks will rally and stand around you. MassResistance.org. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brown. It's wonderful being on your show.
All right. Let's pray for Peter. Let's pray for him for righteousness in the situation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to give a little bit more bad news, but the bad news is the good news, okay? I'm not going to discourage you. I'm going to encourage you, but hear me out, all right? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. If you missed any of the last 50 minutes, later today, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest audio. You'll be able to listen to both hours in full. By the way, I've gone to websites of other radio hosts, secular radio hosts and things, wanting to check an archive, and I couldn't because I wasn't a subscriber. Our material is online for free. Literally thousands of hours of audio, video, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of articles. It's there free with your help. As you sow into our ministry, as you stand with us financially, as you support us on a monthly basis, you are helping make all this available for free to touch millions of people. This is a headline from January 28th, so just 6 weeks ago. French parents in panic over warning of lessons that boys can be girls. Your average French person living in Paris has probably not even read a Bible in years, may not even have one in their home. There's a Catholic heritage, but it is a very secular society in many ways, and yet they are rising up about wanting men to be men and women to be women and fathers and mothers to have certain distinction. Thousands of French parents kept their children at home on Monday following warnings that schools were introducing gender theory classes that would teach pupils that they could choose their own sexual identity. Got a report from Germany. One of my colleagues was in Germany. There was a march with about 1,000 parents. About 1,000 parents in Germany. And they were protesting a new sex ed program for little children in school, including, quote, diversity teaching, which would be gay activist agenda teaching. They were physically assaulted by gay activists and others. Some of them defecated on the Bible. Someone said, let's see them defecate on the Quran. Yeah, this actually happened. Stuttgart, Germany. Look it up. And the police did nothing to stop this, basically encouraged the protesters to just walk away, which they ended up doing, many of them. That's Germany. France. And I have an opportunity next week, I'll tell you more about it in a couple of days, but to travel outside of the United States to another country, I'm not mentioning where, to speak to national leaders about moral issues, to address congressional leaders about gay activism, and we're believing that it's going to make a national difference. And here in America, Planned Parenthood, oh, just caring for women's rights, and oh, just wanted to keep women from having a baby that, you know, they don't want to have, and it's all about the women and Planned Parenthood. It's a wonderful organization. Yes, I'm saying this all facetiously. They are actively contributing to the education of our children. This clip, clip number 20 we're about to play, is heavily edited because most of it we can't talk about it on the air. I wouldn't talk about it on the air, and yet our kids are going to be taught this stuff thanks to Planned Parenthood. Go ahead.
Sadism and masochism refer to people's relationship with pain. Sadists like to inflict pain, and masochists like to receive. The pain is exhilaration concept is not only old as dirt, it's pretty common even outside the bedroom. For instance, you may have heard of a runner's high where someone pushes themselves so hard that it results in this intense euphoria afterward. Kinda the same thing going on. The idea of using power and control and pain in a sex scene understandably sets off alarms in some people's heads.
Jumping in here. There's a heavily edited text, and already some of you are cringing listening to it. This is Planned Parenthood of Northern New England. Just had Brian Kamiker on from MassResistance.org. Planned Parenthood of Northern New England, and this is Lacey Green hosting this video about these various sexual perversions sponsored. This is sponsored by Planned Parenthood. You say, Mike, you're not encouraging me. The bad news is the good news. When this is happening in our society, there's only one choice, and that's for us to turn to God. You say, but the nation doesn't want to. I'm not talking about everyone in the nation. I'm talking about you and me. I'm talking about pastors and leaders. It's time to quit just trying to be relevant. It's time just to get past trying to make everybody like us. By all means, we are Christ-like and we walk in compassion. We should be honest, truthful, caring people. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes. And one of the best ways to do that is to become all we can be in God. The bad news is the good news. It's almost like someone's known for years they have to make a diet and exercise lifestyle change, and then they have a heart attack and they survive it. Now they realize they have to completely change their lives, but they go on being healthier than they've ever been. We are the ones responsible to turn to God. Is there sin in our lives? Is there sin in our camp? Are we entertained by ungodly, horrific things? Do we sit back and let evil take place? Do we do nothing in the light of a perverse video like this or an unrighteous ruling against a pro-life activist or the government wanting to deport a German homeschooling Christian family and send them back to Germany? Do we do nothing, or do we say, okay, I'm going after God. I am going to seek the face of God. I am going to pray like never before. I'm going to turn to Him. I'm going to turn away from sin. I'm going to go after God with my family. Our church is going to. We must have a fresh move of God. I have friends that are mega church pastors, and these churches are built on prayer, and they're built on righteousness. So this is not an indictment just on large churches, but by and large, the Church of America has gone the way of compromise. It's gone the way of complacency. It's gone the way of worldliness. It's gone the way of trying to lower the standards of God to somehow make the gospel appealing. That's like changing the cholesterol level that doctors recommend and so that Americans don't feel bad, then they die in the process. What can you do? I want to get this into every one of your hands. The end of the American Gospel Enterprise. It was written in 1989. God stirred my heart in an intensive 3 weeks. And this book will rivet you. It will stir you. You'll be saying amen to it. And then it'll give you hope. You'll hear how God moved in America in the past. You'll hear how our society was transformed by revival. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, just be as generous as you can as we're on the front line standing for righteousness on many, many different fronts. Again, 1-800-278-9978. And remember, take advantage of this. You can download my Hyper Grace book, 300 pages, for free. Go to Amazon.com, Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Movement. Download it, and you'll see why it's such an important book. Tell your friends to do it. My bottom line today, the bad news is the good news. We've gotten to the point where earthly efforts cannot succeed. We must have a move of God. We are about to take the Religious Freedoms Test with some free gifts along the way.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, all right. I want everyone to get ready, and if you can, if you're not at work or it's going to seem strong, if you're at work, I don't know how you could be listening to this, but if you can say this, I want everyone to say out loud, free, free. Well, we're going to talk about religious freedom, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech here in America, and for our callers who participate in the survey today, we're going to send you something free, which is the spirited debate that I have with my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, DVD. The question is, homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? Oh, it was quite a lively, eye-opening debate. And I think every one of you will really enjoy my opening presentation in particular. And of course, Rabbi Shmuley fervent as always. So we're going to be sending that out free to everyone who participates in the survey. You're going to answer a simple question or two, and that's it. And you get a free DVD in the process. Here's the number to call. You ready? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And you're just going to give an opinion, a yes or no opinion, 866-34-TRUTH. So call now to get in line, and we'll be getting to this in a little while. And I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to present some scenarios to you. It's going to be nothing intimidating, trust me, nothing embarrassing. It's not like I'm going to say, all right, who is the 11th president of the United States? Tell me now. Okay, you lose. All right. And by the way, you get the free DVD just for participating. And all I'm going to ask for is your opinion. Got it? 866-34-TRUTH. I wrote an article last night called 5 Minutes Inside Eternity. So in a few minutes, we'll get to your calls. 5 Minutes Inside Eternity. Leonard Ravenhill once wrote, 5 Minutes Inside Eternity, and we will wish that we had sacrificed more, wept more, grieved more, loved and prayed more, and given more. Building on that, I wrote, yes, the moment we step into eternity, we will see the unveiled glory of God, the fullness of the beauty of Jesus, the immensity of the grace that was poured out on us, the massive debt that was paid on our behalf, the endless splendor of the world to come, and the horrors of the judgment that we have escaped. Yes, at that very moment, just 5 minutes into eternity, we will wish that we had been more devoted to the Lord. Who among us will not wish that we had told more people about the Savior, that we had been less ashamed of him, that we had loved others more, that we had really explored the possibilities of faith, that we had walked in greater intimacy, greater obedience, and greater devotion, that we had taken full advantage of the opportunities set before us? Who among us will not think, if only I had realized how everything I did on earth for the Lord would be so multiplied in heaven, I would have redeemed the time so much better for the Master's work. If only I had a better perspective on eternity, I would have made my life count all the more for the Lord. If only I had truly grasped the infinite resources of my Heavenly Father, I would have trusted Him more, stepped out in faith more, taken advantage more of the promises and power of prayer. As D.L. Moody once said, next to the wonder of seeing my Savior will be, I think, the wonder that I made so little use of the power of prayer. You can read this article by going to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on the latest article. If you missed my article earlier in the week on the Walt Disney Company insisting that the Boy Scouts of America welcome openly homosexual Boy Scout leaders, you can read that as well. AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article. And have you downloaded your free copy of Hyper Grace? You say Hyper Grace, that's a $16, 300-page book. Yes, yes, but the publisher's making it available as a free ebook. So get it now. Go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your ebooks, iBookstore. Download it now. Tell as many friends as you can. It's free. Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message.
Fire we want, for fire we plead. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, free is the operative word today. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. As in religious freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, as in free DVD of a spirited debate I had with my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach a few years ago about homosexuality and is it America's greatest moral crisis? And free as in, go to Amazon.com and download your free copy of Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Movement, a message that mixes wonderful truths about grace with serious error. And this is a really liberating, eye-opening book to read. I'm selling it to you, but it's free, so take advantage of it. And right at the moment, let's see, it's up to number 23 on all free books in the Kindle store, which is way up there. Hard to get that high with free books. And number 2 in all books in the free Kindle store under spiritual growth. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, so here's what I want to ask you. We already have an elite panel. Our first 5 panelists are lined up on the phone lines. And we'll be getting to as many as we can over the course of the day. You know what happened in Arizona last week. Governor Jan Brewer said that she would veto the bill there, the Religious Freedom Bill, SB 1062. Some Republicans changed last minute. They voted for the bill. Then they said, well, actually, now we oppose the bill, which I wrote a whole article about that on legislative hypocrisy in Arizona. The NFL threatened Arizona to take the next Super Bowl away that was going to be held in Phoenix in 2015. Apple and others threatened the state in terms of potential loss of business. And I spoke to an attorney involved with this, and he said it's basically a new world now. In other words, the way the bill was presented in the media and the way the outcry came against it was almost unrelated to the actual content of the bill. And instead of now petitioning the governor or legislators to do the right thing, it's just a matter of have mass hysteria, mass outcry, and then some read the bill and genuinely disagreed with it and tried to get that across. But it was so wildly misrepresented that you couldn't even make a rational decision on it or have a rational discussion on it for the most part. So it was designed to protect freedoms of religion and to make clear what the current freedoms were. So, for example, if you are a Christian baker and someone comes into your establishment and says, my partner and I, 2 men, are getting married, and we would like you to bake a cake for our wedding, which would mean, you know, to Bill and Bob on this particular day, and you put the 2 figurines of the 2 men in there, or you're a Christian photographer and you're asked to take pictures at a lesbian wedding, that you could say, no, we don't do that, and you would not be penalized. So I have some questions. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions for each person. We'll start with Rick in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hi. Yes, you're on the air, Rick.
I'm
all right. Brown. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, I want to ask you two questions, all right? And you're just going to give me your opinion. It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's just a matter of your opinion. First, let's look at the cases that we have seen. Say you're a Christian photographer and a lesbian couple comes and says, we hear that you do really good photography work. We would like you to photograph our wedding. Should that person be required to do it by the law, so that they're not discriminating against this couple? Or should the Christian photographer have the right to say, no, I'm sorry, we don't do that?
You should have the right to decline the business.
Okay. What if they simply wanted her to take, one of them came in, the photographer knew she was a lesbian, and she just said, hey, I opened a new business, and I want some pictures of my shop so I can put online. I'd like you to do that. Should the the photographer have the right to say no to her just because she's a lesbian?
The business owner should have the right to decide what business they do and who they do it with.
Okay, so then let me ask one more question. If, let's say, someone came in from Russia and said, I've just opened a business here for Russian speakers in the neighborhood, and I'd like you to do a photo shoot for me, and the photographer says, look, I don't like what Russia's doing with Ukraine, I don't like a lot of stuff Russia's doing, and I can't side with Russians right now, should they have the right to do that?
Yeah, the business owner should get right. Yes, the business owner should be able to decide who they do business with and what business they do.
Okay. All clear. Rick, thank you for your answers. Stay right there. Dwight will get your address, and we will send you the DVD. I will add some comments in as we go along, but I won't yet, okay? I won't yet. Juana in... Well, instead of going to Texas, let's go north. Let's go to Ontario, Canada. Mark, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Pleasure to be on.
Quick question. Have you followed some of the major social moral issues that tie in with homosexuality in your neck of the woods there in Canada?
I'm more familiar with the ones in the States, but yeah, somewhat.
Okay, because there was a case, and Matt, we need to track it, where last year I talked about on the air that there was an attempt in Canada to monitor homeschooling parents and to say that, in Ontario specifically, and to say that they could not teach their children contrary to what Canada ruled, say that you couldn't say that two men should not marry according to the Bible or something like that, that you could do it in your home as long as it wasn't in, quote, homeschooling time. One of the most outrageous invasions of privacy imaginable. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I really haven't.
Got it. All right. Well, listen, maybe I know more about Canada. Maybe you know more about the States. All right. So we'll start with the same first question just to see where you stand on that. The Christian photographer asked to do the lesbian wedding, so that would mean posing the two of them, and okay, the bride can kiss the bride now, and so on, and having them in different, you know, beautiful settings as a couple. Should the Christian photographer be able to say, sorry, we don't do that, without any penalty?
Yeah, I believe that they should have the right to decline that business based on their religious convictions.
All right, and again, as I asked the last caller, and I'm not going to repeat these for everyone, but just to establish some understanding here, if a lesbian simply came in and the Christian photographer knew this person was a lesbian and just said, hey, I've got my car for sale and I need some good pictures to put online so people know what it looks like, should the Christian photographer be able to say, no, I'm not going to do business with you because I don't approve of your sexuality or your lifestyle choices?
See, to me, that's a completely different situation because the first one is about using their skills to promote a lifestyle that they object to. The mm-hmm. other one, to me, seems more like they are objecting to the person themselves. So I would say that if there were, you know, laws that were saying, hey, if you're going to be, you know, open to do business for, you know, for people for taking pictures of their cars or their business or something like that, then regardless of the person themselves, then I think that I wouldn't have a problem with the laws saying, yeah, you do have to do business with that person.
Got it. All right. And then last question, Mark, and this is from my friend Matt Barber's article, An Absolute Right to Refuse Service. Should a homosexual baker be forced to make a God Hates Fags cake for Westboro Baptist Church simply because its members claim to be Christian?
See, I would say that that would be just as wrong as your first question with a Christian mm-hmm. being forced to use their talents to endorse something that they, you know, that was contrary to what they believed in. I don't think people should be forced to have to do that. So, no,
got it.
They shouldn't.
All right. Now, just for the record, Mark, I'm more with you on your answers than some of the answers of our last caller. But again, he's consistent in where he's coming from here. All right, Mark, stay right there. We'll get your address to send you the DVD. When we come back, I'm going to go straight back to the calls, and I've got a bunch of scenarios, and I just want your opinion, just want your take, and then we'll make some practical application as we go along. Remember, go to Amazon.com, download Hyper Grace. It's free until March 11th. The ebook is free, Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Movement. Tell as many people as you can to take advantage of this. You want to get it into as many hands as possible. It's a critically important message at this stage of time.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, this story is from Edmonton, Alberta, not from Ontario, but from Alberta in Canada, 2012. So we're just trying to see where this stands today. Under Alberta's new Education Act, homeschoolers and faith-based schools will not be permitted to teach that homosexual acts are sinful as part of their academic program. You can affirm the family's ideology in your family life. You just can't do it as part of your educational study and instruction. Of course, many homeschoolers say, well, all of our time together is homeschooling time. We're always educating and instructing. And is the government actually going to come to your house and monitor this in Alberta? So we'll get an update, or if some of you have an update, you can shoot us a note or email us at info@askdrbrown.org. 866-34-TRUTH. We are giving away free copies of a DVD of a very spirited debate that I did with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach a couple of years ago at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He proposed the title, "Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis?" He, of course, said no. I said, no, it's not. It is the lack of consciousness of God, which is our greatest moral crisis. But then I made clear that gay activism is the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience. So our question about freedoms today, 866-34-TRUTH. Sarah in Sandy, Utah, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Let me ask you a Utah-related question. You are a Christian printer, and you are asked by Mormons to print up proselytizing information about Mormonism that you feel is untruthful. Should you be required to do so? Whose freedom of religion wins out there?
No, you shouldn't be required to do so, just like they can choose on who can print their documentation. You should have a choice as a business owner who you choose to provide.
All right. Service. And what if that Mormon, you have a lawn mowing service and you know it's the same Mormon, and the Mormon asked you to mow the lawn at their house? Do you refuse service because you don't like what the Mormon is doing as a Mormon, or does that cross a different line?
I think people make decisions all the time based on their opinions, and I don't think that you should shove it in someone's face. But yeah, I think you should be able to have control over what you decide to do.
All right, and what about state laws that stand against discrimination and things like that? So, for example, you're a white person and a black person comes into your restaurant. You cannot say, we don't allow blacks in here. That would be discrimination, and that would be illegal. Are you saying that the government's going too far in telling a restaurant what they can and can't do, or do you stand with those kind of laws?
Well, that's a good argument. No, I think I think your argument with the either lesbian or gay or religion is a preference. Being black and white is a biological thing, so you shouldn't be able to discriminate against someone just because of their color of their skin.
Okay, so you would draw a line if something is innate and immutable. Of course, the argument from the homosexual activists is that homosexuality is innate and immutable. It's inborn. You can't change. It's just like a civil rights issue. The fact of the matter is there are many differences, and obviously skin color has no connection to moral or immoral behavior, and there is still a choice to act on the desires that one has, no matter how deep-seated they are. Sarah, thanks for your participation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me get to one more quickly, and then we'll continue on the other side of the break. All right. Won't go there. Let's try Charles in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
How you doing today?
Good.
All right. Couple of questions for you again. This is from Matt Barber's article on Absolute Right to Refuse Service. Should a black printer be forced to develop and print thousands of white power flyers for a skinhead rally because the potential customer is white?
No. Government should have no ability to tell them otherwise.
All right. So in this case, the white person could not say you're discriminating against me?
He can say it, but government has no business forcing.
All right. So what about just if you now have a white printer who doesn't like blacks, a black person comes in and says, I'd like flyers printed up for a yard sale we're doing. Should the white printer have the right to refuse service because they don't like blacks?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Now,
Charles?
Let me qualify that. Okay. That is in today's setting. When we were over 50 years ago where the entire country and most society, most communities did that, then I think there was a place for government to say. But that is not the case any longer. I even said this to an aide to a congressional representative last fall, that if I as a Christian applied to work at a company that was run by a Muslim and he didn't want to hire me, I don't think the government should give me any standing to sue him.
Okay, so right, yeah. So just jumping in because I've got a break here. All right, so you're being consistent. Then people make their choices, and the choices are not up to the government to restrict or enforce either way, unless there's some wholesale discrimination against a group of people. All right, Charles, stay right there, and we will get your address to send you the DVD. I find some of these answers surprising, to be candid with you, because of what it opens the door to. However, I understand people having a problem with government intervention. That's the big issue here. I understand that. It's not a matter of a right to discriminate against someone. It's a matter of government intervention, and people are leery of that. I understand. What do we need in America? We need revival in the church. I don't mean a revival service, just get all excited and jump up and down. I mean the people of God having a repentance-based new love for God, such a transformation that it will spill out into the society and transform society. And we need it desperately. My book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, will ignite a fire in you. It'll stir you. You'll read it and say, yes, there's hope, change can come, and then it'll cut you to the heart. We realize the change has to start with you and with me. And it's yours. I want to send it out. We rarely offer it on the air, but I want to send it out to you for your gift of any size. Your support goes a long way in helping us make a difference here in America, in Israel, and in the nations. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Back with our religious freedom survey.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Free continues to be the operative word. I'm looking at Amazon.com in free books on Kindle. This is for the e-reader, or just download it for your computer and get the free app for your smartphone or tablet if you don't have an e-reader, so everybody can take advantage of this. I'm looking at the top 100 free books in Christian living on Amazon. Now, bear in mind, they have several million books. And then free books, it's hard to climb this ladder because they're free, so just people get them left and right. And R.T. Kendall's Holy Fire book is number one in Christian living. He's a guest that was on the broadcast, Dr. Kendall. You want to take advantage of that. It's free. Number two, a book called Named by God, Overcoming Your Past. There's more to that by Casey Van Norman. Number three, Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Movement by yours truly. And then number five, Birthing the Miraculous, The Power of Personal Encounters with the Lord, Intimacy with the Lord. Heidi Baker's book, she was a guest too. So this is cool, Matt. Look at this. We've got three out of the top five books on Amazon, free ebooks, and these are guests that were on with us. So take advantage of it. Tell all your friends and do it. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to our religious freedom survey. Anyone that calls in and just gives their opinion, I'm sending a free DVD. You will watch this with interest. My debate at Southern Evangelical Seminary with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach about homosexuality is America's greatest moral crisis. Let's go to the phones. Timothy in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
How you doing?
Fine, since I'm speaking with you.
All right. So, question for you. This is from Star Parker's article, The Cultural War Against Christians. If a Christian videographer was asked to shoot a porno movie, should they be penalized for saying, no, I cannot do that as a Christian?
Obviously not. It's just a ridiculous question.
All right.
It's out of the question.
All right. What about a Jewish merchant who refuses to sell the poster board for a neo-Nazi rally? Should he be penalized?
No, they should not be penalized either.
Okay. What about a Muslim caterer that is asked to provide pork for a celebration?
No, they should not. My position on these questions, Dr. Brown, is basically that unless a person is actively involved in discrimination against any particular group of persons or people based upon the U.S. Constitution and or state or statutory law, then they should never be punished. They should never be penalized or forced to do business with these people.
So discrimination would be, I have a restaurant and I don't like Hispanics, and an Hispanic couple comes in and I say, sorry, we don't serve your kind. That's discrimination. That should be illegal. But that's very different than these cases here.
Most definitely, as is under current law, that is illegal.
Yep, and rightly so. The question is, when homosexual practice becomes a protected class or gender identity becomes protected class, however you identify, that's who you are. And so if I say I don't want to hire this man wearing a dress to teach in the nursery school, there's the possibility in some states that that could be illegal as some kind of transgender discrimination. You see the dangers here, the reason we're raising these issues. Hey, Timothy, I was with you on all your answers. We'll get back to some more phone calls and giveaways right here on Free Wednesday on the Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm just going to change subjects for one moment, and then we're going to come back to religious freedoms and our giveaway, 866-34-TRUTH. Ukraine. Just a little bit more about Ukraine and Russia's invasion of the Crimea Peninsula. I've only said a little bit about it, just trying to gather more information. But there are those who believe that America helped fuel the fires of the protest movement that overthrew the government of Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, who was legitimately elected by what was supposed to be a relatively clean election, perhaps by Ukrainian standards, we could say very clean, meaning that it was not a fraudulent election. He's been driven from office, forced to flee as a war criminal. And there are those who say that America is directly behind the protests and they wanted someone else in power. There is a famous phone call that was leaked of U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland speaking to making clear that she wanted America, one of the new coalition government in Kiev, and where she rejected the European Union solutions with her blank the EU comment. Yeah, the bad word. Anyway, is this part of then what fuels Russia's fire to say, hey, we know who's behind this and we don't like it. Now we're going to come in our way. A complex situation. And Vitaly Klitschko, the heavyweight boxing champion who is retired to pursue politics, he was leading the opposition party. He's kind of dropped off the scene for the moment, not exactly sure why. He was part of the protest as well. Anyway, lot going on there, but hold on for a while before you make judgment either way and pray for God's purposes in Ukraine. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tampa, Florida. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Hey, Doc Brown.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Okay. So let's just get a couple of guidelines out here to know where you stand. The Christian baker who is asked to bake a cake for a same-sex so-called wedding ceremony, should that baker have the legal state-protected right to refuse to do that based on a violation of Christian beliefs and conscience?
Absolutely.
All right. Should they have the right simply to refuse to sell cookies and cakes to a lesbian couple that walks in and says, oh, we love your cookies, and we love to eat them at home with our kids? Should they say, well, we don't approve of your lifestyle, we refuse to participate by selling you cookies? Or is that going too far?
Yes, they should not be forced by the government to sell anything to anybody that they don't agree with. The government has no right to tell you how to run your business or lead your home.
Okay, so then just to see how far you take this, there were people in Eskimos from Alaska and you just did not like Eskimos for some reason, should you have the right to not sell to Eskimos?
I guess legally you would, but morally you don't know who they are. They have no way to choose to Eskimo or not. You don't know the content of their heart or their character.
All right. So one more question then. Let's say there's a couple that you know. They used to be part of your church. You know the man. He was active in ministry in the church. He divorced his wife without any scriptural reason. He took off with another gal in the church. She left her husband. They're now about to get married, and they're going to another church. Should you have the right to refuse them the wedding cake because you feel that their relationship is adulterous?
Yes, absolutely. They violated scripture, and I feel that they conflict with my morals, and yes, I do not have to bake their cake.
Got it. All right, Kevin, stay right there. We will get your address to send you the free DVD. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Jonah in Douglasville, Georgia. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Let me ask you a couple of questions from the list of Matt Barber in his article, An Absolute Right to Refuse Service. Should a Christian florist be compelled to create and provide floral arrangements to a customer for her upcoming Satanist ritual?
Legally? No.
Should this person be required by the government to do it, and if not, suffer fine or the shutting down of the business?
No, should not be required. I think it's up to, if it's your business, you can do what you want. If by doing that makes your business worse, then that's your fault. But you shouldn't be required to do that. It should be up to you.
Okay, so let's take this a little further then. The person is a Satanist, and they operate a print shop, and you ask them to print up some flyers for your Christian outreach, how Jesus is the way and Satan is a destroyer. Should the Satanist printer be required by law to print up your Christian flyers?
No, he should not be required. It's completely up to him. I mean, if I were to use that person that used my printer, I would use that as a way to get him to know Christ. So anybody that would walk into my store who's a homosexual, I wouldn't treat them with disrespect. I would respect, that's what you want to do, but let me tell you about Jesus. And that's what it should be required, but that's what should be done, especially if you are a Christian store owner or whatnot.
All right, so just to understand this, and one last question, and I appreciate you being consistent. The government does have certain laws against discrimination. So, for example, if a woman comes into your store and you say, I don't like women, you can't buy my cookies. Or if a black person comes in and you say, I don't like blacks, you can't buy my cookies. Or if a Christian comes in and you say, I don't like Christians, you can't buy my cookies, that would be religious discrimination. So do you agree that those laws should be on the books, that there should be discrimination based on ethnicity or gender or religious faith? If you don't like Muslims and a Muslim comes into your restaurant, you can't say, get out of here, I don't like Muslims. Do you agree that the government should be enforcing those laws?
Well, I mean, that's a little bit more of a different story, because if a Muslim comes to America and he wants to buy cookies from my store, and even though I don't support that culture or that religion, that's a bit wrong, because if I get this right, America's built around freedom, and I'm taking that freedom away from him. And that should not be allowed.
All right. So the question is, when the freedoms conflict, who's wins out there? Hey, Jonah, appreciate your answers very much. Stay right there, and we will get your address for the free DVD. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. All right. I'm going to get in one more really, really quickly. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Robert, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Real quick for you, just to know where you're coming from. Christian photographer, lesbian couple wants you to shoot their same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. Should you be penalized as a Christian for refusing to do that?
What's interesting about what I'm about to say is I'm gay, and B, I just got engaged over Valentine's Day in Paris. However, I don't feel that it should be required that a person should serve a homosexual if they don't want to. I don't think that the government should force that on other people. I personally, even though I'm fixing to get gay married, don't even really know how I feel about it, as it is a conflict within myself, going my whole life before I came to terms with, this isn't going to go away, no matter how much praying I'm doing, no matter what I'm doing. Mm. this is, you know, eventually companionship is an issue for me, though I am in a completely celibate relationship, which is how I rectified that aspect in myself. But I do not feel that it is correct for the government to force straight people to serve people that they feel are morally a moral degenerate or are corrupting society.
I think. All right, Robert, tell you what, stay right there. I'm so pleased that you're listening, and I don't understand the depth of the battle that you passed through in your own soul, because I haven't lived with this, but I've read enough stories, I've put myself in these shoes and wept over it. Stay right there. We'll get your information during the break, but stay here. I've got a couple more questions for you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on this Religious Freedoms Test Day. As we've been just at, well, it's not a test, just getting your opinion. Robert, first, thanks for listening to the broadcast, and thanks for being so candid about struggles and trying to work these through in the sight of God. We just made a note. We'll be sending you the DVD of the debate with Rabbi Shmuley, which I think you'll find eye-opening, and you may find yourself in agreement with a lot of it. But I have a book coming out called Can You Be Gay and Christian? It's due out in a couple of months, and it's written with heartfelt compassion and really wrestling through the issues of relationship and what do you do with it and what is God's will. And love does no harm to its neighbor. So what should our position be? So as soon as that's out, which will be May, we're just going to hold on to your address till then and then send it to you. But we're not putting you on a mailing list or anything. So just to let you know, in a couple of months, you'll get that. Also, my perspective would be it's one thing to ask a Christian photographer, say, to shoot a volleyball tournament at a nudist event. They'd say, I can't do that. Or to shoot same-sex wedding ceremony, say, I can't do that in conscience. It's another thing to serve everyone that comes in, just in terms of their basic needs. So if someone came in and you knew that person was homosexual, you knew that person was divorced wrongly, or you knew that person was an alcoholic, you still serve that person, but you just don't participate in something that would violate your conscience. But just one other question for you, Robert. You were raised in church, I assume?
I grew up, a Catholic, and I bounced around to many churches. My mother was basically off the map. She didn't really care about religion and spirituality, and my dad was gone. And so we were sent at one point into a Baptist church, and then I was in a Methodist church and a Pentecostal church, and I ended up at one point, I've been part of many churches, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I worked at the Church of Scientology for a while. Now I attend a Messianic Jewish synagogue, which are like Jews for Jesus.
Uh-huh. In the Dallas area?
Correct.
All right. I probably preached there myself. All right. And so you find yourself same-sex attracted. You now identify as gay. You say these things haven't gone away. So you're in a relationship that's celibate at the moment, but if you, quote, get married, and I say married, just I don't want to offend you personally, but you do understand that I don't believe it's marriage in God's sight in terms of marriage being the union of a man and woman only. But once you're, quote, married, would you still plan to be celibate?
Yeah, and the thing is, though, I've never been a very sexually active person. And the main conflict that I eventually came to terms with that I was having with the whole gay issue, because, you know, when I was, you know, 13, 14, and I was coming into an awareness of the way my mind was set up and the way I was thinking and feeling, you know, I would often cry and feel like I was born simply to go to hell. I felt born to be doomed. And then, you know, after a long, long time, I started to wonder, I'm like, well, why isn't God just going to kill me now? Why did not just, you know, take me now if this is the end? So I was resentful for, you know, at God for a long time, because I thought, well, you know, is this a horrible joke? You know, I've tried, you know, I've spent my time trying to find the beauty in a woman in that way. You know, it's not that I don't see, you know, a woman that, you know, is categorically attractive and I can't tell that she's not attractive, but it doesn't do anything for me. I'm not driven right. toward her in that way. So I figured, you know, and because, you know, the Bible, you know, resonates with me, because, you know, the concept of atonement is so important to ridding a person's self of sin and coming into a clean situation. The conflict eventually became resolved when I thought through, like, hey, you know, it's a sex issue. That part, I don't like that part. I don't care for that part. And really, without that part, what am I left with? I'm left with a close companionship, an emotional relationship with somebody. And, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people who are wondering to themselves, well, if you're not going to have sex and you're gay, then why not just get a girlfriend? You know, what's the difference? And I think that has to be addressed, because for me, when a girl would try to touch me and, you know, touch my arm or love on me in that kind of way, I get like chills. It just doesn't feel good. It's not like relaxing. It's like, ugh, you know, I'll hug a girl. And, you know,
so Robert, just because of shortness of time, and I appreciate you being candid with our listening audience. By the way, those of you that are on hold, because I was going to bring you on and I haven't, so I could get more time with Robert, I'm still going to send you the free DVD. So, Dwight, as soon as you can, just get to our other callers that are currently on the line, and we want to send those DVDs out to you as a gift. Robert, I guess the bottom line thing that I really want to urge you to consider, it's absolutely clear that God did not create you to damn you, or that he didn't make you gay because he hates you. And I would say their sexuality and romantic attraction, these are complex issues, and there can be many reasons why we have the attractions we do. But I just want to urge you to do this. The ultimate question is not what makes you feel good, or what satisfies you, or what makes you feel whole as a human being. The ultimate question is, how can you please God? What is his will? And if you'll really put that first, I believe that you can come to a place in life, Robert, where following him without a same-sex partner can be the most wonderful, liberating, fulfilling, joy-filled thing you could imagine, that you will find real wholeness there. And the whole atonement issue, Jesus doesn't die so that we can keep on sinning, but to save us from our sins. And Robert, I know other men and women who for many years found themselves same-sex attracted, but they said no to those attractions and followed the Lord. Some had their attractions change over a period of years. Some had them lessen. And others said, I know it's wrong, but as I follow the Lord, my life is very, very full. So, Robert, I encourage you just to step back. It's obvious you're tentative in the steps that you're taking. And I pray that you'll really come to that point of saying, God, I just want to do what you want me to do, no matter what the cost or the consequence. After all, Jesus gave everything for us, and he is enough for us. There's no condemnation here, Robert. I just want you to know God has a better way. So we're going to send you the DVD right out. Call another day when you can. We'll chat some more. And then in a couple of months, we'll send you Can You Be Gay and Christian? I think you'll find it tremendously helpful, especially in a Messianic Jewish setting. All right, got to run, but thank you, Robert. Friends, we need awakening. We need awakening. I want to send you in the mail a spark, literally a spark that will help ignite a fire in your life. It's my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It'll stir you, and it'll give you a picture of what revival can be in your life and in the nation. And it's yours for your generous gift of any size. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, freedom of religion, conscience, speech are greatly prized in America. The question is, how do we draw the lines righteously?